we return to another installment of our Home State View series. It's a series, if you remember, in which we explore the backgrounds of candidates for president with people from their home states, media people who know them quite well. Today, we'll discuss the former U.S. Representative Joe Walsh, a Republican, challenging Donald Trump for that party's nomination. Rick Pearson is with us, political reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm well, and we're so lucky to have you on the line for a few minutes because you've been at the Tribune for over three decades, and you've covered Walsh since when?
Since he actually ran for his first successful bid for Congress about a decade ago.
Okay. Take us back to Joe Walsh's early days. How did he rise and make a name for himself and eventually get elected?
Well, I think the one overall thing to keep in mind about Joe Walsh, and it's actually kind of a interesting bit of trivia, is that he attended, as a younger person, the Lee Strasberg Theater and Film Institute, the very noted. So he's very much politically been someone who has been a role player and looking to fill self-perceived voids in the political universe. In 96, he started out basically working for charitable causes, doing outreach for raising money for loans, student grants for underprivileged children, and largely grants to allow them to attend private schools. So he's always been a longtime private school supporter. But he always kind of had the political bug. In 1996, he ran against a veteran Democrat in Chicago, Sid Yates. And Sid Yates had been in Congress for multiple decades. And for his 86th birthday, for Sid Yates' 86th birthday, Walsh got a birthday cake with 86 candles on it to start the fire, but claimed that he was not playing ageism. And he also offered a $1,000 prize for anybody that in that congressional district, that if they had seen Sid Yates, he'd give them $1,000.
Okay.
So very much of kind of a promoter stunt. And he lost that race 2-1. It was a heavily Democratic district. He ran for a stint in the state legislature, again, from a heavily Democratic district, lost 2-1. But it was really in 2010, you know, with the rise of the Tea Party movement, where he was able to first make his name. He defeated a three-term Democrat in a very kind of split district. He beat this Democrat, Melissa Bean, by 290 votes to win that congressional seat.
And then lost it immediately the next cycle, 2012.
Yeah, it was redrawn because of the census, so it did have much more Democratic leanings. He actually toyed against running against another Republican because Illinois had lost a congressional seat at that time, but he opted to take on Tammy Duckworth, who won that, and now... and she won that by nearly 10 percentage points, and that obviously propelled her to her seat now in the U.S. Senate. For Joe Walsh, it sent him to a talk radio career.
Right. That's what I wanted to get to tell us. So that starts after the political career, after the loss in 2012?
Right. And he moves into a local Chicago conservative station doing talk radio. The station, its network, then started syndicating him to other outlets. And once again, trumpeting kind of the Tea Party message that he so strongly had ridden upon. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you go back to the days when he ran against Sid Yates with the birthday cake or ran for the state legislature, Joe Walsh was a pro-choice moderate. He even said against the Sid Yates campaign, he goes, "I'm the kind of Republican who can win because I'm open and tolerant. I'm not some right-wing conservative."
Right, there
now
he has.
You flash forward, and you know, he is the ultimate conservative in the Tea Party movement.
Right, and it's also, I'm sure you've written about this, it is a sort of a similar evolution to our president in his background.
Very much so. Yeah, and truly, I mean, when I wrote a story when Walsh got into the race back in August, that Joe Walsh was Donald Trump before Donald Trump in many ways. The kind of metamorphosis that has occurred, because Donald Trump had identified himself as being pro-choice. Joe Walsh, in his original congressional bid, was in favor of an assault ban and gun control, and as was Trump at one point. And, you know, then you find this kind of slot, this political slot to fit in, and he's against abortion, he's against gun control. I mean, the similarities are many.
Mm-hmm. What is he, during his short term in Congress, is he known for any sort of achievement, signature? It's hard to do that as a freshman, let's say that, first of all.
Not really. His basic achievement, I think, and he even acknowledge it, is saying no. He was always saying no to federal budget bills, spending bills, those kinds of things. That was really his hallmark, was to really kind of be a budget hawk and just say no.
Mm. In this series, Rick, we like to ask about the candidates' teams. Who are they surrounding themselves with? Himself, Joe Walsh in this case. How does he, what can you say about the team, the people who he surrounds himself with?
Well, frankly, he doesn't have much of a team. It's here again, here's another kind of Trumpism, is that Joe Walsh is basically his own candidate. You know, he does have somebody that worked in a data analytics firm that's helping do some of his media, but he's really running this himself. In the last quarter, he only raised less than $235,000, and of that $235,000, $100,000 of that came out of his own pocket. So, what I think what his candidacy does is it does fill the void. You know, because now he's, you know, apologizing for things he said in the past. He, you know, when Trump was actually right prior to the election of Trump, he tweeted out on November 8th, "I'm voting for Trump. On November 9th, if Trump loses, I'm grabbing my musket." You know, now he is the, you know, Trump is insane, is crazy, all of this kind of stuff. I think he's filling this role of trying to be, you know, the Republican never Trumper, in a public way that kind of honed through his acting skills and his radio show allows him to be this voice on, you know, endless hours of cable television.
What? But how does he explain what you just described? That he was once an ardent Trump backer, now a harsh Trump critic. We know Trump has not changed, right? It is Joe Walsh who has changed. How does he explain that evolution or about face?
He basically says, "I apologize. I apologize. This is, I actually helped create Trump, and I apologize for my role in that." He says that "I'd rather be the man who apologizes for the mistakes he's made than the man who's incapable of apologizing for the mistakes he's made." Now, the question is for voters: is do you buy it? I mean, he acknowledged that a number of his tweets he sent had racist language, but he says, "I'm not a racist." I mean, he said he tweeted out for Barack Obama, you know, that happy birthday to our Muslim president. I mean, he was very much active in all of that kind of inflammatory stuff that you know, the president is known for.
Right. Let me quote quickly what you have in your article. Another example of Joe Walsh earlier. Well, this was going back to the 50th anniversary of the Reverend Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. You write that Walsh recited his own version on his radio show and told listeners that he had a dream that, quote, young black males and females graduate from high school and that young black men don't become daddies until after they're married and until after they have a job.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very highly inflammatory language that he uses. And so, again, the question I think for me, for voters, is he truly repentant? Do you really believe the apology? Or is this just another role that he's playing in his political career?
Right. You write, And we only have a couple minutes here, Rick, but you write about Joe Walsh that he's challenging Trump from the right. Explain that. I mean, from the right.
Well, and it's because he believes that Trump is not a real Republican, and that Trump is only appealing to political aspects that play well, but that he is not honed into the true Republican ideology of, you know, free markets and holding down taxes and balanced budgets. I mean, he did in Congress, was a co-sponsor of the annual balanced budget amendment, for example. So that's where he portrays himself as kind of in this effort as kind of a purity of Republicanism, that he is that candidate.
And Rick, to finish up, we like to ask all of our Home State View interviewees about a little known fact about the candidate. Joe Walsh, in this case, you have a lot of already surprising things about him in this interview. Is there something else, perhaps back to those Lee Strasberg Theater and Film Institute days that we might not know about?
Well, he was asked one time about, well, did that ever result in any kind of an acting gig? And his response was, and I haven't found it, but he said, I think I was in a Minute Maid orange juice commercial once.
Okay. Former U.S. Representative Joe Walsh there in the spotlight, courtesy of Rick Pearson, political reporter for the Chicago Tribune. It's part of our Home State View series. Rick Pearson, thanks for joining us live from Chicago today. We appreciate it.
Ben, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.